No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this afternoon on our social media platforms and our YouTube channel, we say good afternoon, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Ezra Ginsberg, with Dave Manouk at the Moose game, I'm your host, Drew Mandel, here to talk about the Winnipeg Jets dropping a hard-fought decision to the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Jets defeated 3-2 in a shootout in a game where you can certainly say the Jets were up to the challenge, particularly after yesterday's game in Boston, a game that a lot of people sort of were holding their breath about. The Jets came out and they put forth a very good effort, dropping ultimately. They had 9 bad seconds, you could sort of say, that ultimately cost the Jets a regulation time victory and end up with the shootout loss. Ezzy Ginsberg, good afternoon to you. Dave M. will bring in as well as the Moose game is in intermission right now. You know, this Jets team, you played well. They played hard. I think people would be reasonably pleased with the effort. Were there times when the Pittsburgh Penguins were the better of the two teams? Certainly. Were those extended periods of time? Certainly. Are the Pittsburgh Penguins a better team than the Jets? Yes. That's why it largely explains the time where the Penguins had control. But this was a 2-0 game into the third period, and the Jets have to feel as though they let one slip away.
Yeah, absolutely. You just mentioned it, right? Like, we like when the Jets go bang, bang. We don't necessarily love when the Penguins go bang, bang. And I'm sure we're going to be talking about the Jeff Carter goal. It's really inexplicable, you know, what Connor Hellebuyck is doing there. I mean, we know that he's not, Marty Brodeur or Ron Hextall when it comes to, you know, puck handling goalies. But, you know, you just can't make that mistake, especially when, you know, the Penguins are pressing. But, you know, the Penguins had a lot of pressure leading up to that. But I would agree, Drew. I mean, this was a fun game, guys. Like, when you have the noon game, you kind of expect it to be a little bit sluggish at times. Yeah, and it really wasn't. Like, this was a good game. I feel like, you know, I could write a thesis about that 3-on-3 overtime. There was so much going on there. First off, I don't know how Jeff Carter doesn't get a penalty for cross-checking Josh Morrissey there in front of the net. Like, I understand, you know, Crosby on Hellebuyck, like the goaltender interference, like, you know, that probably could have been a penalty, but come on, there were 9 seconds left. Like, could the Jets really do much with 9 seconds? I think you could make a strong argument. I mean, it wouldn't be enough to really score on the power play, but I mean, by the definition of goalie interference, yeah, Crosby probably should have been called there.
Never mind that. The officials did hand out a penalty in overtime. Sidney Crosby got a penalty at the 5-minute mark of overtime, i.e. after overtime was over. The referees assessed him with a roughing minor against Kyle Connor. Talk about an absolutely pointless penalty, because it doesn't impact Krosny's ability to participate in the shootout. So he gets penalized. He doesn't get penalized for bowling over the Jets goaltender, but he does get penalized after overtime ends for reasons that only the officials will be able to know of, because they did not have a banner day in their calling of today's game.
You almost wonder, Dave, if that's something that the NHL should revisit. I can understand, you know, why it's in place, but like, why call it? Because it's just a paper transaction, right, Drew?
That's all,
like,
it
has absolutely no bearing on the game. And then obviously Crosby scores in overtime, but Malkin, I mean, the move, the little, you know, toe drag on Mark Scheifele, and then Hellebuyck makes a good save. But, you know, what I'm going to remember about this game is just how good Jari and Hellebuyck were. Like, guys, Hellebuyck played, the game finished less than 24 hours ago, and Hellebuyck was excellent, right? So, I mean, it's just unfortunate what happened there, but we've talked about it before. Like, you know, humans make mistakes. Unfortunately, you know, Hellebuyck is in a tough stretcher. He's not playing his best hockey, Dave. So, yeah, I mean, the Jets, that's a hard-fought point, hard-earned point, I should say, you know, as Drew mentioned. But, I mean, we're always going to remember just what could have been. The Jets kind of let one slip away there.
Certainly the case, Dave M. will bring you in as you're at the Moose game, where the Moose and the Chicago Wolves are into the first intermission, if I'm not mistaken. So there will be some a little more noise behind Dave than there typically is. Go for it, Dave M. Unmute yourself now, buddy. Can't hear you if you don't.
I thought you were going to unmute me. I had to put my camera a little bit farther back so get that wide angle.
Do you have a shooter, Dave?
I know people. What?
Do you have a shooter?
Shooter, no, I don't. I actually saw, maybe I'll see if Colin Jensen is.
But Freddie Mislachuk might have been your cameraman there.
Nope, nobody, no cameraman. Just got a little setup here in the surplus press area to be able to do the show with you guys. So, it's an interesting game, right? You expect the Jets to have a good start because they're pistol-rated. They came up in Boston, and they did. They had a good start. Came up strong again in Pittsburgh. And look, Pittsburgh, Drew said it. Pittsburgh's a good team. They're 8-2-0 in their last, not including today's game. They were 8-2-0, and now they've won 5 in a row. So you're not exactly going up against a team, and they didn't play as well in the last game. It was Thursday. So you've got a team that's very good, playing extremely well. Had guys dropping like flies in the first period. I think they lost 4 players out of that first period. And, you know, some came back. But at the end of the day, like, the Jets just didn't bury their chances. And, you know, I agree the power plays seem disproportionate and not called. I didn't think it was humanity for the refs. I'm not one to generally try to claim refs for a lack of a team's lack of success. But to me, the, you know, Jets hitting how many posts to Cal Hunter, how many shorthanded chances did the Jets not take advantage of? So, I mean, there were a lot of instances in this game where the Jets could have, you know, increased their lead and put this game away a little bit, and they didn't. I'm not saying they didn't have that kind of instance, but they didn't have the ability to do that. And as a result, they allowed them to put this game in it. And then, you know, Connor held a goal by Jeff Carter. It was just a backbreaker because he had played very strong. And as he says, what was the end? How many shots did he face in the end?
Can't really hear you, Dave M, with the background noise, so I'm going to take it over there for a second. And to your point about the Jeff Carter goal, I mean, that comes 9 seconds.
Doesn't Evan know, Duncan know that we're doing the post-game show now?
You would think so. The Moose PA announcer, Evan Duncan, apparently doesn't know that, but you think he should, he would have checked in with Dave M before announcing what he just announced at the Moose game. You know, look, it was a 2-0 game for the Jets, and Connor Hellebuyck looked like you want Connor Hellebuyck to look after 40 minutes. He looked big and soft, and the way he had played, you sort of knew that it was going to take a fluky goal to get one past him. And that's what the Penguins got, and that's sort of maybe the way it's going for the Winnipeg Jets right now, where, you know, I don't buy the argument that the Jets need more puck luck. The Jets got plenty of puck luck, you know, the other night when they scored the goal 5-on-3 against Nashville. So that argument doesn't hold water for me, that the Jets are playing so well and a little bit of puck luck will make all the difference. But in this instance, what you saw was Kasperi Kapanen getting his 9th of the year at the 6:55 mark of the third period. And it's just a deflection in off of his skate that happens sometimes. You know, redirections off skates happen. Oftentimes they're the only way to score in this damn league because everybody crashes down to the net so often.
The Jets might challenge that, actually. I mean, they obviously made the right call, but it was one of those plays where it kind of made you think for a second.
I mean, in this day and age, unless you're really, you know, looking like a field goal kicker and you're coming up and you're giving it a good hoof, it seems like anything in off of skates is going to count. You're allowed to redirect it. It's only the distinct kicking motion. That wasn't distinct.
Which
kicking
no one knows what that actually means.
Of course not. That's a word jumble that is only interpreted by the people at the NHL head offices. And it's interpreted in different ways, depending on who is working the review booth on any particular night.
Sorry, Drew, before you continue, I think it's just so funny that Dave, if you didn't know Dave was like, there was a Moose game going on. It's so quiet. It looks like Dave is maybe just in the press box by himself. And as soon as he activates his microphone, it's super loud. Sorry, I just thought that was funny. Let's get some noise back in here, Dave.
No, right now, we'll wait till Dave talks, and then we don't need the background noise to be excessive.
All of a sudden, Dave became a mime.
Yeah, that's smart. That I don't mind Dave there being a mime. But, you know, what I was saying was Kapanen scores, and, you know, the Jets, you know, you deflate. I understand why you deflate, but you can't deflate to the extent that the Jets deflated there. Connor Hellebuyck has to be more aware of what's going on around him when he comes out to play the puck. And I know a lot of people are saying, never play the puck, never play the puck. You can't play the puck. That's just not the way it works. Connor Hellebuck's not a great puck handler, but you still need your goalie to have the wherewithal in order to make simple plays. And I'm not sure what was going through his mind there. I'm not sure if he thought that he had support on the backside where the puck came to Jeff Carter. I'm not sure if he just, you know, if it ricocheted harder than he thought it was going to. But that's just a giveaway and an opportunity onto the Penguin stick that you can't give up in that instance. Jeff Carter, if he knows how to do anything still in this league, and that's score goals. He's been scoring goals at a very impressive clip for the entirety of his career back to his time in Philadelphia when he refused to go on the dry island with Mike Richards, if you want to go back over a decade. But that's the reality of the situation. And, you know, Jeff Carter can't be availed that opportunity from Connor Hellebuyck in that instance.
Well, yeah, and it's just so unfortunate because, as we talked about, he's had a rough road trip, right? Like, mm-hmm. Hellebuyck hasn't been playing, you know, certainly at the level when he won the Vezina Trophy or when he was a Vezina finalist, right? So that's what's so unfortunate about it, because you talked about it earlier. Up until that point, right, like the Kapanen goal, I agree with you. Like, it goes off a skate, whatever, and you're not going to blame Hellebuyck for that one. But that second goal by Jeff Carter is 100% on Hellebuyck. And it's kind of, you know, I watched the replay and I'm still not really sure, you know, like, he obviously, you know, thinks he's getting it to a defenseman, but there's just nobody there, right? Like, Brendan Dillon was the defenseman that was on the ice, like the closest to Hellebuyck. And then I guess whoever was, I forget who was on with Brendan Dillon, but whoever was on with Dillon, that's who Hellebuck's trying to get the puck to. He just doesn't do a very good job of it. So yeah, that goal is going to obviously stand out, not only because it was the tying goal, but just because of the just egregious giveaway, right, Dave? So let's get the loud man back in here. But for the most part, I think you're pretty happy with the way you played in the second game of a back-to-back. I think Kyle Connor definitely, you know, deserved a goal and another goal, I should say. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, I thought it was fitting that he went in on the shootout because he was another guy that had so many grade A opportunities. But again, you know, it comes down to the shootout, and it's a coin flip as far as I'm concerned.
Dave, your thoughts on the Hellebuyck giveaway?
Well, they're just playing a little jump around. So, it's, you know, it's exciting. The second year of the start here in Canada Life as a year for one. I mean, that's more authentic. They're going to get authentic. Maybe I'll turn the camera and they can see that. But, you know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, we know Connor Hellebuyck's puck handling is not his strength. And that's what they do. And that's communication. Right? That's, you know, he needs to be told that it's not, the play isn't there. That it's not there, and he either has that presence of mind and has to know, let it know that it's not a good situation. Of course, it's kind of a failure on a team level, but individually as well.
There you go. Dave M chiming in from the Moose game, where the Moose and the Wolves, the second period has just begun. And we'll go back to Dave throughout the course of the post game show. We say good afternoon to everyone joining us. Thanks so much for joining myself, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk, are the Illegal Curve post game show. The Jets dropping a 3-2 shootout defeat at the hands of the Pittsburgh Penguins to end the road trip with a 0-2-2 record. You know, it could very easily have been a 2-2 record if a couple of the games that they ended up losing in overtime or the shootout, the bookend games against Washington and Pittsburgh, had gone the other way. That being said, I think there was more concerning things than positive things ultimately on this four-game road trip for the Jets, as we can look back at that as well, in addition to looking at today's game. I thought this was their best 60-minute performance, though, of the road trip. Every other game, I thought there were some warts in their game and some deficiencies in their game. This was the Jets, in my mind, their best performance against what has certainly been an upper echelon opponent in a Pittsburgh Penguins team that is now 9-2 in their last 11 games.
Yeah, and you have to factor in, you know, the second game of a back-to-back, end of the road trip, right? So to put in that type of performance when you don't have as much gas in the tank, right? So, yeah, I would probably agree this was the most impressive game. Certainly yesterday, I mean, I wasn't on the post-game show, but I was obviously watching the game. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, didn't think that the Jets had a very good finish to that game. The start was pretty good. The first period, I think you'd give it to the Jets, but definitely the finish was not there. And, you know, yeah, not scoring on power plays was huge. And that's something, again, you know, today that unfortunately the Jets aren't able to get 2 points. You know, they kill off all those penalties. And we know Pittsburgh's power play is extremely potent, right? So, I mean, you know, they score on the one power play opportunity. It was kind of a weird game. We talked about the officiating, you know, in the overtime. I just thought, you know, it kind of wasn't clear what the refs were going to call during this afternoon's game. And again, that goes back to what we were talking about. Sometimes these afternoon games, some weird things happen. Like, we had a fight between Nate Beaulieu and Brian Boyle. It looked like Brian Boyle's shoulder might have popped out or something. And then he was back in the game, right? Obviously, Teddy Bluger didn't come back. I'm missing somebody else, Drew. Somebody else left the game too. But they might have come back. There were three pens at one point
yeah, you're
that
right.
left the game. But we'll look back on that. Maybe somebody in the chat will bail us out.
Rust.
There you go. Brian Rust.
There you go. Yes, exactly right. He came back. Yeah.
He came back.
Good. He came back and played 1844. He's a good player for the Penguins.
He's a really good player. So, I mean, look at when you consider everything, like Drew just mentioned it, you know, 8-2 heading into this game, now 9-2, you know, second game of a back to back, last game of the road trip, all things considered, Hellebuck back in net, you know. And, you know, just on that point, because I know there's some people in the chat talking about it. I mean, I don't think any of us are surprised that Hellebuck gets the start. That's a really tough assignment, Dave, for Mikael Berdan to come in second game of a back-to-back against Pittsburgh when the Jets are desperate for 2 points. And look at Hellebuck responded. So all things considered, Dave Lowry made the right choice.
Oh, yeah. I'll say that because I thought they were going to go with Berdan. I thought after yesterday.
I thought so game, too, by the way. I would be lying if I said they were going to go Hellebuck back-to-back.
Where Hellebuck went, you know, I think it was 34 shots against in yesterday's game. So it wasn't like he had an easy time of it. I thought that they were going to go with Berdan. I thought maybe the Mikael Berdan and net might be able to, you know, refocus the team in the defensive end of the ice. Obviously, they went with Hellebuck, and they certainly were justified. He justified their faith in him because he played a very good game, except for, I mean, you know, not even the first goal. The goal by Kapanen, I don't fault on Hellebuck. It's just a fluky deflection. It's just that one lapse. And when you're a Winnipeg Jets team right now that is just without confidence, they can't have those lapses. And it's not a significant thing. I mean, for the most part, what they played, the style they played, the physicality they demonstrated, you like their game. And if they could take that game and they can, you know, perform that game more often than not, then I think people would be fine with it, Dave. I think it might be a little bit quiet behind you, so we'll get you in at this opportunity. But you know, it's the inconsistency of it all that's driving people mad, and I'm sure is driving the players mad, is that they can look as poor as they did in that first period against Nashville, and they can look as poor as they did in the final 40 minutes against the Bruins, yet they can look more than decent against the Penguins team today and, you know, ultimately end up losing in the shootout. But they want that game. Why can't they have that consistency in their game?
Well, I mean, if I knew that, then sure, I'd be on Jets coaching staff too.
But right.
I'm not. I'm with you two bozos. So I think what it comes down to ultimately is, if you think about it, what have you been practicing for 3 weeks essentially, is trying to figure out how to play a consistent game. And, you know, they're obviously tweaking that lineup and they're trying to figure out how things are going to go in that regard. And we learned that Dylan DeMello has an upper body injury. We learned Logan Stanley has a lower body injury. For folks wondering why Billy Mangola wasn't in the lineup, we weren't able to get him in because the Jets didn't have time to maneuver with the waiver. They'd have to play someone like Nathan Beaulieu, or they'd have to have signed Dylan Sandberg down to the taxi squad. They didn't have enough room to get Billy Hino in the game if people wanted to. He wasn't playing. So, I mean, they didn't have really any other options because of, obviously, the injury that Dylan DeMello sustained and obviously whatever happened to Logan Stanley. We didn't know what his status was. Everyone assumed yesterday that it was a healthy scratch decision, but, of course, ultimately he was he's been designated as having an upper body injury. So
don't forget to lean back, Dave.
I will lean back right now, and I'll let you take over the mic, big guy.
There you go. As you interrupted Dave, now you have to talk. Now you have to talk for him instead. Careful what you wish for there.
It was Fat Joe lean back playing in the background there, in case anybody was wondering what I was talking about. I just assume people are always wondering what I'm talking about. But in that particular case, they were playing a little Fat Joe, good rapper. I mean, anybody who thinks that mistake, though, by Connor Hellebuck was because he played the previous day, I think is ridiculous. Like, up until that point, guys, he was almost in a shutout situation there. He was in a shutout situation there.
Yeah,
so he was perfect up until
that.
He was perfect up until Kapanen's goal. So, like, come on. I mean, this happens. Like, I'm not defending Hellebuck. Maybe I am defending Hellebuck. But in this particular case, I mean, it's a mistake that he knows he can't make. And it's unfortunate, you know, you feel bad for him. At least I felt bad watching that game. I was hoping that the Jets would be able to pull out the extra point in overtime with the shootout just for him, basically. That's not hard. Like, we talk about this, and you know, I guess some people that don't watch hockey a lot wouldn't know how rare it is to play the second game of a back-to-back. I mean, Dave can tell you it happens a little bit more in the AHL when you have three games in a row, right, Dave? But or just in general because of the league. But in the NHL, you rarely see it. Like, how many times, guys, in the last 11 years or 10 and a half years since the Jets have been back, how many times have we seen a goalie go two games in a row? I feel like Hellebuck's done it before, but he's only done it a handful of times. So it's just one of those things that nobody takes pleasure in, except for the Pittsburgh Penguins, I guess. But it's just one of those plays where, yeah, I mean, you can't do that. And, you know, it allows the Penguins to force it to overtime. But, you know, I on a positive note, the Connor, Dubois, and Perfetti were really good. Connor had 7 shots on net. Well, Perfetti was really good too. He had a good chance earlier in the game. So, I mean, let's look at some of the positives as opposed to just, you know, focusing on that one giveaway by Hellebuck.
You do love looking at the positives. You're a glass
well, you have
half
to.
Full. I mean, you're a glass half full kind of guy.
Guys, we live in Winnipeg. It's minus 40 every day, and I've had to shovel, I think, 62 times so far this year, and we're in the middle of a pandemic. So you got to be positive.
There you go. You get whatever it takes to make to put a smile on your face there, Big Daddy. That's the important part. I'll tell you what, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll give away our Tough Duck toque to the winner. Well, more on today's Jets and Penguins game. We look ahead to the week upcoming between the Panthers and the Canucks coming into Winnipeg, where 250 lucky people will be in attendance along with Dave M. Much more to come. Stay with us. It's the Illegal Curve Post Game Show. We're live on a Sunday afternoon on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platform.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, John Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rolly's.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rolly's.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Minute Minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Sunday afternoon. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Dave M showing us a little bit of the Manitoba Moose game going on in the background. He's high above the ice surface at the arena watching the Jets AHL affiliate. There he is, handsome man back on camera.
No, Dave, go back so we can watch the game. We don't need to see you. Go back to that other view.
Ezra Ginsberg, the man on the bottom, and I'm your host.
Well, if I do that, I'm pretty sure I'm breaking a few laws that way.
Yeah, there probably are definitely some copyright infringement issues or, you know.
That's it. I'm off the project.
Rebroadcasting, retransmitting without the express written consent, not the implied oral consent of the AHL. That'll get you into trouble every day and twice again on Sundays. A couple of comments coming from the post-game scrums that I wanted to bring forward. According to Jets head coach, interim head coach Dave Lowry, Evgeny Svechnikov was a healthy scratch in this afternoon's contest. So obviously Svechnikov a little bit in the doghouse of the Jets interim head coach. Dylan DeMello and Logan Stanley will need to be evaluated this week. That to me indicates that they would definitely be questionable and or doubtful for Tuesday night against the Florida Panthers before the Vancouver Canucks come into town on Thursday. So that'll certainly something to be keep a close eye on for the Winnipeg Jets. I haven't seen next week's schedule yet for the Jets, but I would imagine that they're off tomorrow would be my strong assumption given the back-to-back and the travel and everything else. So I would not expect there to be any sort of practice prior to the game day skate on Tuesday, where we'll have a better idea about what's going on with the roster, especially as it pertains to the back end with Ville Heinola. There need to be a little bit of roster juggling done in order to get Heinola in the lineup, unless it's going to be Nate Beaulieu back in again as he played today for the Jets. We'll know more early in the week, Ezzy and Dave.
Yeah, I think it's going to be here. Get Dave in here because I've definitely talked too much. But
I agree.
I think that, you know, there's a good chance that you could see Ville Heinola. I'm not saying that it's, you know, better than 50% or anything like that. But do you not have to, you know, consider Heinola, especially against a really skilled team like Florida, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, you need someone who can move the puck. And again, like you said, or Drew, sorry, you're going to have to make some roster moves because you can't afford to have everybody up right now the way the roster is currently constructed. With Blake Wheeler coming back off LTIR, even though you put Nikolai Ehlers on, there's obviously a disparity in their salary and their cap ramifications. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in that regard. And it's interesting. It's an interesting decision to see to have Evgeny Svechnikov. We can tell he's in the bid to drop us. Obviously, the fact that what did he play? 3 minutes, like one game. So I mean, like it's clear that there's something that Dave Lowry doesn't love about the player and his result. You know, and it's interesting because I mean, I'm not really seeing the ball from Christian Vesalainen, and so you're wondering what is he exactly is Christian Vesalainen bringing that you wouldn't get in the Svechnikov ball. I mean, I don't see it personally, but
we'll see. Took a bad penalty today, too, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to obviously be some roster juggling for the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, this is the last week that they have the taxi squad available to them. That goes away after the All-Star break unless something changes from the NHL's perspective. But I don't expect that the plan is going to be altered. I expect the taxi squad will go away as of after the All-Star break, which, of course, starts. I guess there's another. The Jets play this week. They have their games. They play Saturday against the St. Louis Blues. Then they head out to Philly, I believe, next Tuesday. And that's what wraps up the pre-All-Star game portion of the schedule. So it'll be interesting to see the Jets, what happens with their roster. I mean, this is another four-game stretch before the All-Star break that the Jets have to build on today's game in terms of their performance. In terms of, you know, I saw some comments in the chat. Dave's giving the thumbs up. Oh, there you go. Moose scored. Somebody scored for the Manitoba Moose, or they're celebrating Dave M's presence in the arena. Who scored? Who scored, Dave? Lean into the mic and tell people. We can barely hear you.
Johnny Kovacevic.
There you go. Johnny Kovacevic scoring for the Manitoba score? Moose. So I believe that now ties the game up at 1-1. The Moose and the Wolves. In action. I'm not sure we'll be able to get a fulsome Moose report or Minook Moose minute due to the combination of the background noise and Dave M, of course, having to keep an eye on the game while it's going on. But there you go. Live updates as they happen. Johnny Kovacevic scoring for the Moose to equalize the game at 1-1. But as I was saying, you know, this next four-game stretch for the Jets before the All-Star break is pivotal. This was a lousy four-game stretch. You get two out of a possible 8 points. not good enough, Ezzy. Now you got four more before the All-Star break, but at least you have something in which you should be able to build on. Today's performance was something that you should be able to say, this is how we want to play. See if that can translate over, because you got a game against the Florida Panthers. We know they're a juggernaut. You got a game against the St. Louis Blues next Saturday. You're chasing them in the standings, and you have two teams that, I mean, the Vancouver Canucks are below you in the standings, and the Philadelphia Flyers are in absolute disarray as an organization. They've lost 10 games in a row for the second time in the first 40 games of the schedule, which is hard to even articulate and hard to believe.
Yeah, and think about all the defensemen they acquired, right? Like, we talked about that during the summer, but we're obviously not talking about the Flyers here. But yeah, I mean, there's no way you can really sugarcoat this road trip, guys. And yeah, I mean, to start off, you know, you had more guys out of the lineup, and you know, now you're healthier, and you know, Blake Wheeler's back in the lineup, and guys are out of COVID protocol and everything like that. But you know, I think, you know, at this point, it's tough to, you know, find those moral victories. We're almost at the midway point of the season. Yeah, did they play well in some of these games? Yeah, they obviously, you know, including this afternoon's game, they played really well. So, I mean, you like parts of the games. I think Nashville, you know, you didn't like parts of that game as well. I mean, Washington, we know that they easily could have got 2 points in that game as well. So, I think for the most part, you won't be happy with this, but I mean, it's make or break time, guys. We talked about it. Now we know when all of these games are taking place. There's going to be a lot of home games in February. There's going to be a lot of games against the Central. So, I mean, this is it. I mean, we're not going to be having this conversation a month from now, right? Like, the Jets are, you know, in the fight for their lives for a wild card spot. So we're going to be talking about that a lot. But it starts with, you know, Tuesday in Florida, huge test. You know, Florida hasn't lost a lot of games this year. They're right up there, you know, with Tampa Bay in the standings. I watched the Lightning the other night. I still think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lightning win a third cup in a row. Like, I realize, you know, they've lost some players, but, you know, Nikita Kucherov is back. You know, Victor Hedman, I mean, he hasn't lost a step at all. I mean, there's so few weaknesses on this team. Obviously, you know, they're not as deep as they were, but they're still really good. So the game against Tuesday is going to be a big test, but you're right, Drew. Like, even Vancouver playing much better under Bruce Boudreau. And then you've got St. Louis, who's been solid all year long. They're at the top, near the top of the Central Division as well. So, I mean, you just have to put some wins together here, not just the week coming up, but in the next several weeks with all of these games now that have been made up from the postponed games.
Well, you're absolutely right. And you talk about, you know, the time being now and the pressure is on, and make sure as you work on getting that tough talk, hardest hitting comment. We're going to give that away before the end of the post game show here. But, you know, Connor Hellebuck says, quote, you know, this is courtesy of our buddy Scott Billick on Twitter. Connor Hellebuck was talking about that he's feeling pressure at the moment, says the team is running out of time when it comes to the playoff race, Dave M. You know, quote Connor Hellebuck, the time is now. So, I mean, when, you know, Connor Hellebuck's out there saying this to the media, they know it. They know that, you know, if you fall any further behind, if you go another 4, 5, 6 games without getting, you know, positive results in the ledger, then it's not going to be good enough. Then you're going to be out of time no matter what happens in the last 30 or 35 games of the season. So the Jets know it. Connor Hellebuck articulates it. The team, you know, in the dressing room needs to come out with one of their best performances of the year, I would say, on Tuesday against the Florida Panthers, Dave M.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is all they can do. All they can do is go up against one of the best teams in the NHL and make a statement, because that's what you have to do. And you have to win. You need a win. Like, there's no more. We talked about it. Like, the cushion is gone. The standings bank that you did earlier in the season on the 9-3-3 run, that's long gone. That's in the rearview mirror a long, long time ago. So the truth is, yeah, Connor Hellebuck's right. The time is now for the Winnipeg Jets to keep to get some sort of momentum, because we talked about it. You can't be in a, you're not in the playoff spot and just trying to maintain it. You're trying to catch the playoffs. So the truth is, you can't afford not to be putting 2 points and getting regulation wins. And what they're doing right now is just not enough to make them a playoff team. So, I mean, yeah, they can scratch and claw, but they're putting themselves at such a deficit with these kind of situations that really are within their control, right? And this was a game, for the most part, like we've talked about, against a really good Pittsburgh team that they had control of. And yet, at the end of the day, they didn't end up coming away with 2 points. So will they end up lamenting it in whenever the season ends, April, May, June? I can't even remember when the season ends. We'll see.
the season ends at the end of April, but I keep having to check because I'm never quite sure about it as well. But it'll, you know, the Jets need better performances to see if it's going to be the end of April or if they'll be able to play into May, which is when the playoffs will begin at the in this extended still 2022 NHL season. Ezzy, you got the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Who are we giving a toque away to on this Sunday afternoon edition of the Illegal Curve post game show?
Just want to get one more thing in before we give the toque away here. The Panthers have 29 goals in their last six games. One of those games went to a shootout against Vancouver. They only had one goal, and then one game they got blown out by Calgary. You had a game where they scored 9 goals, 7 goals, 5 goals, and 6 goals. So really that number is a little bit misleading because it's not necessarily spread out evenly, like, you know, an average of 5 goals or whatever a game, but they score a lot of goals. So just wanted to get that in there. The rest of the team around Connor Hellebuck's going to have to be good. He's going to have to be good. But let's get to the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. We're going to give it to Francis Bozzo. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I think, Drew, I sent you the comment. There you go.
There it is.
This team needs to learn to keep going and keep scoring. You look at the teams like Colorado winning games 6-1 on a regular basis. You can't win a lot of games scoring 2 goals a game. I agree. I mean, we talked about it on the Saturday show. We've talked about it a lot over the last few weeks. No complaints with, you know, Kyle Connor or Pierre-Luc Dubois or, you know, Mark Scheifele. You know, Blake Wheeler obviously contributed his second goal of the game, but you're definitely going to need a lot of offense coming from, you know, those quote unquote secondary sources. It's a cliche here, but especially when you're going to get up against a Florida team that can easily score, you know, 4 or 5 plus goals in a game. So I agree with that. And send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Send me your mailing address and Tough Duck will ship you out a toque.
There you go. Big congratulations to Francis, the winner of the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment on this afternoon's post game show. A big thank you to our friends at Tough Duck. A big thank you to all of our sponsors. They make this show. They make the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and they make illegalcurve.com a possibility. That's our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, the aforementioned Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. That's it for us on this Sunday afternoon for the post-game show. We're going to go spend a little bit of time with our loved ones because we keep seeing divorce attorneys coming up in our Google searches, and that's a little bit weird because I don't think any of us want to go down that road.
Just shovel the snow, Drew. Like I said, this is going to be my 63rd time shoveling this winter. It's snowing again. Like, I guess it just it snows every day in Winnipeg now.
Apparently, that's the new reality. The lake effect snow is beginning to affect us here in Winnipeg. Dave Minuk is at the Manitoba Moose game. He'll have continued Moose coverage on our website, illegalcurve.com. Also, you can follow along on his Twitter feed, @ICDave. You also have the post-game audio available.
Dave, give us that goal horn one more time.
He doesn't control the goal horn, Ezzy. It only happens when they score.
The control room is right around the corner. You want me to run over there and ask him to do it?
Yeah. Well, you get on that. We'll see about that.
I mean, the players on the ice might think it's a little weird that the goal horn goes off, but hey, you never know.
They'll understand it's for Dave M. and the IC post game show. Dave M. is in the top right. Ezra Ginsberg's in the bottom middle. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Tuesday night and the post game show after the Jets and the Panthers, right around 9:45 p.m. We remind you, please smash the like button. If you haven't already done so, subscribe. Subscribe on our YouTube channel. Subscribe via podcast. That way you will never miss a minute of our Illegal Curve content. Until Tuesday at 9:45 p.m. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game show. We wish you good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.